Got your Bible this morning, turn with me. Hebrews chapter number 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter number 3 and 4. Miss Mary says, I'm probably going to wear this book of Hebrews out. Hebrews chapter number 3 and 4. Read a couple of last verses of Hebrews 3, and I'll probably just read the whole chapter 4 for the scripture this morning. Hebrews 3:18 said, to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's the last word in that chapter, unbelief. Sometimes we don't realize the seriousness of unbelief. Amen. Let us therefore fear, verse number 1 of chapter 4, lest the promise been left us. Now we got the promise that we can enter into that rest. Left us of entering into the rest, his rest. Lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. You didn't know they had the gospel preached to them, did you? They did. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath that they shall not, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the Sabbath day on this wise, and God did rest the Sabbath day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if we hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given him rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? If you notice in your Bible, you probably got a translation of Joshua. He said in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Amen. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine sunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and discerner the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come bold into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Notice what he said in verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Would you pray with us this morning? Father, I want to thank you again for the blessed opportunity you've given us to break forth the bread of life. We ask your blessing now upon the scripture this morning and upon the words you'd have us to speak, knowing that you only and you only know that we desperately need this morning. You know each heart, each life. I pray that you give us a fresh word, thy anointing, that unction from on high, that quicken your word to our hearts this morning. And I, Father, I pray that you stir us down deep in our soul by the quickening power of your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You know, I was thinking this passage of scripture about her. So much unrest in this day and hour we're living in. So much restlessness. No rest. But you know, God wants us to rest in Him. You know, I just like to get started. Just, I was thinking about something that really struck me this week. You know what? You touch it. God rested from it. Not that He wasn't tired out of creating this universe, but He rested. Let us know that it was finished, complete. But you know what? You know what we're doing living on this creation that He created? You know why I'm resting on it? I go to bed at night. I'm not running out trying to worry and fret whether the sun's going to come up in the morning or not. I'm not worrying and fretting if some of this planet's going to have a collision somewhere. You know what I'm doing? I'm resting on the created work of God. And so we don't live, physically speaking, worrying and fretting about, listen, we are resting. You're sitting there resting. I'm standing here, but I'm resting on this platform. You're resting on that chair. We're resting on that because we know that it sustains us and it's there for that purpose. And therefore, God says there's a rest of the people of God. You can have rest beyond anything that you can imagine. Sure can. And so if you're going to have rest, the first thing you have to have rest is, you know, God finished His creation and He rested. And the whole preacher said, somebody asked him one day, said, what day do you rest? He said, every day. Amen. You know what? You can be working like a slave, but you can still be resting in Him. They were some of the slaves back when they had slaves in this country. Some of them knew God. And they had some mean taskmasters, but you know what? Some of them was resting, Brother Raymond, in God. Amen. And you know, there's some rest for you this morning. There's some rest for me. We can have it, thank God. It's there. It's for us. If we'll believe God. You know what? The number one, the Bible said the sin that has run the race that God has set before us. And you know what the sin is? It besets most of us. It's a sin of unbelief. It's a sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. Look what all of the things it caused the children of Israel from not believing God. If they'd have believed God, like Joshua and Caleb did, they could have walked across that desert and got into the promised land and had rest, 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 thank God. But they entered in not because of their unbelief. They wouldn't believe God. They listened. They did not profit them. The gospel was preached unto them like it is unto us. But it didn't profit them. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't believe what they heard. I'm glad this morning the gospel being preached. And if you believe God in His finished work at Calvary, you can have rest. Thank God and peace that passeth all understanding. If you believe Him and believe what the work, that's the first thing I want to talk about. It's a work. Believing that you can have rest in the work of God. Not just in the work of the creation of this world, but the work of the creation of a new creation. He can even make of you. If God, He did. By faith. God was telling me, before I ever looked at what the sun's confession about, I said, well, I didn't say nothing to it, but I thought, that's amazing. I'm talking about a belief in faith this morning, and the sons of Jerusalem was talking about it too. By faith we believe the word was framed. You know what God did? Nobody furnished any material to make them. Spoke them into existence. Whew. So we can rest on the finished work of this creation. But more than that, we can rest on the finished work. Amen. In Christ, He's completed. You know what He said on Calvary? It's finished. No more dying for sin, no more. No more sacrifice for sin, no more. It's been paid. You can rest on that fact. And what rest it is. That no, it's complete. We're complete in Him. We're accepted in Him. In the Beloved. What rest I can give you. I don't say I can have any rest if you go to bed tonight not knowing that that work's finished. Huh? I don't know how you could have any rest if you got to go to bed not knowing where you get up in the morning if you died in your sleep, where you would go. But there's a rest where you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not a hope so, not a peak so, but a no so, that you can rest in the finished work of Christ and go to sleep, thank God, knowing everything's all right. You can get up in the morning, thank God. The finished work. Rested. I don't have to go around worrying whether I'm saved or whether I'm lost. I've been born again. I can rest in the fact of the finished work of Christ. Whew. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Just as I can rest on the work of this creation, I can rest on the work, listen, of the new creation. New Adam. I know for a fact we came from the first Adam, but thank God we got a second Adam, a last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God through Him has promised me, and I can rest on the finished work of our wonderful Savior. You can have rest this morning. You can have peace, if that's it all understand. You can rest. You can have rest concerning the past. You can have rest concerning the present. You can have rest concerning the future. What about rest for the past? Well, I don't care who brings up something in the past. You can just say, thank God, I've been forgiven of that. I'm not worried about that. And you'll have it. Somebody will bring something up. Sure, you can depend on that, but I'm going to tell you something. You still have rest from all the past. Why? God's taken your sins and washed them in the blood. He's put them in the sea of forgiveness to never remember them no more. Hey, some things I'm glad God let me forget. I ain't forgot everything. And it's easier than me getting there about anything. But you know what? In a way, I like it. Oh, why? Somebody say something, don't say it in my ear. I said, you probably don't have no worry about that. But you know what? I'm glad God's taken care of the past. The only thing God wants us to do about that is, He said, just remember one thing. Such were some of you. If you start dealing with somebody who's got some problems, just remember one thing. He said, such were some of you. But you've been forgiven, you've been washed, and you've been cleansed. And I'll tell you what that do. That'll stop you from a lot of things. But you know that God's grace is sufficient. You can rest in the finished work of Christ. You can rest in what He's done in the past. You can rest what He's done in the future. And thank God for it. You got everything ready. How about resting right in the present? You doing it? You got it? Amen. Well, we know that the works, we can rest in His work. Another thing we can rest in, and I want to emphasize on this a little bit, is the Word of God. Thank God you can rest in it. It's ever settled, right? You know, I was reading, what was it? Who was it, Solomon? Who said it? Oh, he said, it's in the Word of God. You know what it said? The Word of God do for you? He said when you walk it, it'll show you the way. He said when you lay down at night, it
God's a talking book. It sure is.
So we can rest on the Word of God. It's why He said, let us fear, that's a promise that's been left us, that we can have rest. God's Word tells us we can have rest, we can have peace, and therefore we want to stand on it. Look what He said about the Word of God. The Word of God is quick. That's an old English word for being alive. Active. Alive. And we know it's quick. It's fast. Swift. But thank God for the Word of God. Look what He said in verse number 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful. There's nothing like the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. It's powerful, wonderful power is in the Word of God. The power of the Word of God can convict and convert, and the Word of God can comfort. I'm telling you, the Word of God is wonderful. It's powerful. You can rest on it. It's so. It's amen. Glory to God. The Word of God will stand forever. It's forever settled in heaven. Thy Word is therefore appear. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Thank God you can rest on the Word of God. You know what's wrong with most of us this morning? We don't spend enough time in it. I got nothing coming apart. I got to glue it back. Because I'm not ready to quit using this one yet. But the Word of God is quick, active, alive. And it's, what did it say? Powerful. Amen. What else did he say it was? Sharper than a two-edged sword. You know what about the Word of God? You heard me say, I'm pointing one thing about three of them back at me. You know what the Word of God is? It's sharp, it's two-edged. What is cutting you, it's cutting me. With none of it exempt from it. But the Word of God's sharp. I'll tell you something. We need to be as kind and firm and all as we can be in our speech and everything else. But I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God. Let it do the cutting. You don't have to worry about it. Somebody said, well, it was sharp with our speech. Just give them this word. It's sharp. It cuts. Today I got Lester sharp my knife. He said, be careful with it. If it's a dull, if I get a sharp one, I got to be careful with it for a while. But you know what? Two-edged sword is sharp. It'll cut. It'll cut. It's sharp. Thank God it is. It'll cut, won't it? Sharp. Look what else we rest on the Word of God. Look what it says. Sharp, piercing even the divine sunder of the soul and spirit. The Word of God's the only thing, if you look at it closely. We try to separate the soul and the spirit and the body. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God will do. It'll separate between the spirit and the soul. It'll let you know the difference between the soulish and the spirit. It'll divide it. Now, we can't do that ourselves. But I'm going to tell you something about thank God for His Word. You know what? You know how I like to worship service? You think, we didn't just worship in here. You know what we do when we worship God in spirit and truth? We're just joining that heavenly choir. When I was singing about a while ago, when we singing these songs, praising God and worshiping the Lord, I was thinking, oh Lord, look what's going on in heaven. We're just joining in with y'all. It's not just us here, but while we're here joining in, other bodies elsewhere are joining in with that heavenly choir, that heavenly throne, praising and worshiping God. you don't enjoy that, something wrong with your appetite. Oh, somebody said, this is the Lord's day, I'm going to have to go to church. Have to go. Get to. We join with that heavenly choir, worshiping God. So the Word of God's quick, active, powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even the divine, it's even the divider asunder the soul and the spirit. Hallelujah. There's a lot of soulless worship, there's a lot of fleshly worship, but thank God it's a true worship. The Bible said that hour is coming, and now is when they that worship God must worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. And thank God for the Word. It'll divide between the soul and the spirit. And when the Spirit of God's presence, you know it. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to worship God in spirit and truth. And the Word of God, you can rest on the fact that the Word of God's true. And the promise. Sometimes you get questions and ask you like, you really believe this is a halo? Yes, the Word of God says they are. Sometimes you get asked questions like, do you believe it's here on earth? I said, well, some people may be going through what they call it here on earth, but it's nothing compared to what's going to be out over yonder. It's just like anything that we have in this life. A lot of afflictions. The Apostle Paul said, nothing compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us over there. And I'm telling you, the best times you've ever had in God here, oh, glory to God, nothing compared to what is going to be over there. Best is yet to come. What a day. You can rest on the Word of God. Rest on it. Get that Bible in. Go to hiding it in your heart. It's powerful. It'll change you. It's power in it. It's not like reading the newspaper. They know the book like it. They tried to destroy some of the Old Testament time. What was it? Who was that? Brosser? Who it was? Give me that word. I don't like it. Burn it. Throw it in the fire. He just got to let him come right back at him. Add a little more to it. You can't destroy the Word of God. You can't make it of none effect. You know what? I was telling me the other day, it's been years ago, I preached a funeral. And the guy told him, another lady said, he went back home and told his wife. He said, we don't have a Bible now. Get one for tomorrow night's over. He said, God spoke to me today through that word. Word. Made him want to go get him a Bible. Start looking toward God. Word of God's powerful. Sharp. Bending the two-edged sword. It even goes in the joints and the marrow. In the discern of the thoughts and depths of the heart. You're talking about powerful. God knows what you're thinking. You ever had sometime we'd be driving down the road, you know, I ain't said nothing where I said, what are you thinking? Sometimes not thinking anything, sometimes I am. Most time you're thinking. Well, there I said, boy, I better be thinking on something good. But you know what I thought about that? She ain't got to ask me. God already knows. You know what the Bible said? Well, do think on things that are lovely. Good report. Things that are honest. Whew. You ought to spend a little time thinking. Don't think on the bad things. Don't think on depressing things. Don't think on things. Listen to all those things. Think on the good things. I didn't say you'd get that from the news, or get it from that. think on things of lovely, good report, virtue. Oh, things of praise and honor and glory to God. Think on good things. But God said He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what you're thinking, but I also, not only that He knows that, but He knows what your intentions are. Sometimes we're full of good intentions. Sometimes we never get around to fulfilling them. But at least God knows, don't He? He's a discerner of our thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what? Here's what He said about it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. Eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Eyes of the Lord are the righteous, and the ears open to the prayer. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But eyes of the Lord are roaming everywhere, looking. He knows everything, sees the intents and the thoughts of our heart. He knows all about us. Somebody said, she said, I confess everything to Him. He knows it anyhow. He might as well confess it, and we confess it and forsake it. He said, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God. He knows all about us anyhow. We might hide something from somebody. We can't hide nothing from God. And the Word of God is powerful, sharp. It separates from the spirit, joints and the marrow. Boy, when it gets down in the marrow of them bones, that's going down deep. That's going down to the inner life of a man. And He knows intents and thoughts of the heart. He knows that the heart desperately wicked. Who know it? He knows it. Sometimes somebody says, if I know my heart, well, one thing about it, we're not going to put no trust in our own selves. You read, I read the verse, well, you know what it said? That we're resting in God. We're resting on the Lord. We've ceased from our own works. If we can rest in His works. We cease from our own works. We cease from our own word. But we're resting on His work. Mean His work. Resting on His complete Word of God. You can't add to the Word of God. You can't take away from it. It's finished too. Amen. Word of God. Then lastly, not only we can rest on this finished workers, finished word, but we can rest on this will. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you to have mercy by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. What's that good? Be sure I'm getting it right. Perfect, except the will of God is. Is that where it's quoted? Romans 12:1-2. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I got a shouting bell. That got a stir in my heart yesterday. You know what? We can rest in the will of God. If you're in the good, first of all, it's good. It's good for you. We know all. We know that all things, Romans 8:28, work together for what? For good. For them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And so we can rest in the good will of God. God wants what's best for you. He will work it out for you. Thank God. It's the will of God. Thank God. We can rest in it. He said He would win and any should perish. If you're lost, He wants you to come be saved. He's not willing that you should perish. Thank God for His good will. Amen. What a good will it was for the Father to come to this world and down the cross that we could be saved. Thank God for the good will of God. He's good. And we've been blessed. And what else was acceptable? Huh? Yeah. His goodwill. Acceptable and perfect. Will of God. You know what? You may think that you know better what God, that what you want to do with your life than God does, but I want to tell you something. If you ever want to have peace and satisfaction and rest, it better be interested in the perfect, acceptable will of God. And you can rest in that. Rest in it. Are you resting? It's good. Will of God for your life. Are you in the perfect will of God? Are you in the acceptable will of God? Are you in that good will? Thank God. Hallelujah. Nothing like it. We can rest. And if we enter to His rest, what God's saying, He said, come on. Come on in here with me. Hey, enter in here with me. You think God ringing? No. He's not ringing, fretting. He's resting. He knows exactly what He's going to do. And He's saying to you, and He's saying to me, come. You can enter into that rest too. Come. I'm resting. You can rest with me. What did He say in Matthew 11, 28, 29? Come unto me all that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me. What? Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your soul. Wicked can't have no rest now, not going to have none in eternity. But God's made a way. You can have rest. We rest in soul, spirit. He said, come. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give it to you.